We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Here's the 1-1. And Hall swings and drives it deep right field. And that ball is going to go. It's gone. And Derek Hall, all he does is homer. Three hits in the bigs, and they're all long balls.
How about that?
And the Phillies have a 4-3 lead.
Well, good morning, everybody. Along with my pal Jody McDonald, I'm Glenn Mack now. It is a Saturday morning on WIP, holiday weekend. Jody Mack, before we get into the brilliance that is Derek Hall, you and your family got any big holiday plans? Fireworks? Barbecues? What do you got, Jody?
That'd be an 0 for 2, 0 for 3, however far down the list you want to go.
Right?
No, I'm working for a living. When other people take off, yours truly goes to work.
Yeah, you are. You are the hardest working man in showbiz. I give you credit for that. So last night, as you hear the call from Scott Fransky with a little percussion from Larry Anderson, just I love every night that Larry's in there. I love that. Anyway, Derek Hall, it's his third career base hit, another homer as the Phillies rally from 3-0 down 3-0 and win 5-3. Long ball Hall, Jody, that's the nickname they gave him at Double A. Ninth player in the last 60 years with three home runs in his first three games. What do you think? Sold?
Two things. Number one, he becomes the first player to do it for the Phillies. First three hits, three home runs in the big league since the immortal Ed Senicki.
Oh, are
you on top of Ed's work? I had never heard the name before last night, to be 100% honest with you.
No, and you always when you think somebody like, wow, what a great accomplishment. Was the last guy to do it Ryan Howard? Was it Greg Luzinski? You know, who was it? Del Ennis? It's like, no, who's Senicki? Ken Senicki?
Ed Senicki. Who played for the Phillies back in the 40s and the 50s. And I'm being honest, I should know this, but I don't. But I looked him up, and I now don't feel so bad about not knowing it because he had all of 20 career Major League plate appearances. That's it.
What?
He had 20 plate appearances his career spread out over 3 years. He was up
he
in 49, didn't play in 50, came back up in 51. So that was the extent of his career. So I don't feel nearly as bad as not knowing him. So I looked this stuff up, and you know what's I'd never noticed
military?
This before. I don't know if that's the case. When you go to baseballreference.com, do you use Baseball Reference?
Oh, all the time.
You look up guys?
Oh,
right.
As late as this morning, as recently as this morning.
There you go. You and I both were on it. They give you not only where he was born, which was in Wallingford, New Jersey, but where he died, which was in Old Bridge, New Jersey, and where he's buried in East Brunswick,
yes.
New Jersey. I had no idea that you'd find out where a guy
yes.
was buried.
You go pay homage to Ed Senicki.
Holy mackerel. I could,
yes.
So,
yes.
That kind of tells the tale of Derek Hall. Exciting. I hope that this is the beginning of us knowing Derek Hall or Philly fans 40 years from now. Go, oh, shoot, I remember Derek Hall. That it's not just a guy who came and went like the previous Philly who had hit three home runs in his first three games, in his first three hits. Excuse me. I got to give credit to a caller, Mac. Somebody called my show Tuesday night and said, Jody, what the Phillies need to do is they need to trade Rhys Hoskins and call up Derek Hall. And I'm going, you know what Hoskins is. He gets hot. He carries the team. He gets cold. He kills the team. His value is going to be what it's going to be. But how do we know what Derek Hall? He's hitting minor league home runs. Well, the guy comes up and proves he can hit major league pitching. And it's only three games, but he has proven he can drive the ball out of the park. And a caller suggested to me Tuesday night here on WIP. I don't know if that's the way it's going to play, but they needed a big bat in the middle of the lineup. And for a handful of games, Derek Hall has done a decent job of filling Bryce Harper's shoes.
Yes, and I'll respect and I'll appreciate that. Because, right, Bryce Harper is hurt. Castellanos still really isn't hitting. They needed some offense. And yesterday, they are now, after winning last night, they're a game and a half behind the Cardinals in the wild card race. We're really just about the halfway point. They play 78 games, I think, the Phillies have played. So right. You're really at the halfway point. But, you know, you look where they were a month ago. And last night started was the first of 7 games in 10 days versus the Cardinals. How's that for a schedule? They trail them by a game and a half in the wild card. You got to figure they got to go 4-3, 5-2 here, right? Kind of push past that obstacle?
Correct. And you look at each of these series individually, but when you're playing a team that is in your proximity for the postseason berth that you want, there's added value. They desperately needed to get that last game of the Braves series because they had already lost the series by losing the first two, and give them credit for putting a 14th spot on the board. But, yeah, there's added value when you are playing the teams that you know you're going to be in battle with for a playoff spot. I think, and I know, we're just reaching the halfway point of the season, as you just pointed out. It's pretty cut and dry. There's going to be 4 teams battling for those 3 wild card spots, and the Phillies are the last of that group. They're the ones that are just on the outside looking in. They're going to stay there. I don't think anybody else gets involved. So it's kind of cut and dry as to what they're going to need to accomplish over the second half of the season to make the postseason.
And winning last, listen, Jody and I have a lot we're going to talk about today. We have a lot of talk about the 76ers coming up. A couple of good guests as the show goes on. But I wanted to start with the Phillies because it struck me as a really good win last night because, to be honest with you, when I looked at the batting order for the game going in, right, and you had Matt Vierling playing third base, and you had Bryson Stott in the game, and you have all these guys, and then – you looked at Bailey Falter starting against Mikolas. Jody, you could not have gotten me to bet on the Phillies last night no matter what. Falter only goes 4 innings, but as you tweeted after the game, the Phillies bullpen, often subject fairly to a lot of criticism, was brilliant.
5 innings, 2 hits, 10 strikeouts in 5 innings out of the pen.
Yeah.
And the point of my tweet last night is something that I've been harping on forever, basically. Certainly going all the way back to Charlie Manuel when it comes to Philadelphia. But this conversation can be had in any town with any fan base with their baseball team. When the guy comes out of the pen and has to protect the lead and he doesn't do it, what the hell was the manager thinking? How could he put him into the game? Why didn't he do this, that, or the other thing? And a manager just gets crushed for it. Yeah, the pitcher that gives up the home run gets crushed for it, too. Ask Jerry Familia about that. Ask Corey Knebel about that. They're not getting a pass, but it's the manager's fault as well, if not more so than the pitcher. Well, last night, the 5 guys come in, absolutely dominate, all do a great job. I'm guessing there was no mention of Rob Thompson. But Rob Thompson is the one who decided to put each and every single one of them into the spot that he did. Sir Anthony the 8th rather
That's
than the
it.
9th and
it.
Gets the job done in the 9th. Does anybody ever give the manager credit and say, wow, that was strategically smart on the manager's part? Of course not. They get the grief when it doesn't get done and the pitcher comes up small. But when it does get done, well, that's, of course, that's what he's supposed to do. Like every secondary manager sitting home would have done it the exact same way.
And let me give people the numbers. 215-592-9494 to reach us and talk about this. And you mentioned Sir Anthony in the 8th. And I thought that was the best movie made because Sir Anthony, I think, is moving into the closer role and I think he's going to be good at that in the second half of the year. But sometimes the smart move by the manager is not just automatically save your closer for the 9th. And in the 8th inning, the Cardinals had Goldschmidt and they had Arenado, who were just two killer. Well, Arenado only hit for the cycle last night and completed it there. But
and it was a little bit of a weak cycle. I disagreed with
the single was. It was a bad scoring decision.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
I agree. But a home run's a home run and a triple's a triple. Whatever. A weak cycle is still pretty damn good night.
Yeah, exactly.
But he brings in Sir Anthony in the 8th to face Goldschmidt and Arenado, and I was impressed by that. Again, it could have backfired, but it didn't. It was the smart move. Branham gets him out of the 9th, and it was a really fun win. Again, contributions from Mickey Moniak. I'm not counting on that too much. Matt Vierling, who made a second start at third, made an error. It was a very unlikely win, and if you're going to get to the postseason, Jody Mack, you need those unlikely wins.
100% correct. And, yeah, Veerling threw the ball, the one that ended up being the debatable play.
Yeah.
He almost got it into the stands on a fly. It was like a throw from right field. His mind just went back to his outfield play, and he absolutely threw one only, I would say, 15 feet above Reese's head at first base, and they gave him a single, which was weak. But I'm actually impressed that he plays some decent infield defense. I thought that was such a desperation move that they put him there just because they had roster shortages. He hasn't been terrible. He hasn't been great, but he hasn't been terrible either. But you're right about Moniak. Got his second RBI of the year last night, Glenn.
Woo-hoo!
That's huge. Second RBI.
Yeah, I think he's up to 130 in the batting average. I know. But, hey, you know, a win's a win. You have to love it. Let's sneak on a call here. I think this is our old friend Rick from Easton checking in. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, sir, my friend. How are you?
All right. How are you?
My two favorite talk show hosts. How you doing, Jody Mack?
Very good. Appreciate it. Good to hear from you, Rick.
Appreciate it. Listen, guys, I don't know what's more amazing, that fireworks display last night or the fact that the Phillies are playing like they're having fun against Milwaukee and St. Louis, the two contending teams for a playoff spot. I can't believe I'm saying this. With a center fielder playing third base, and you just mentioned the batting average. Three starters are hitting below 170. It's incredible. You know, you lose a starter. The bullpen shows up maybe once every two or three games. Now they're starting to be more consistent. 10 strikeouts. Unbelievable. You just mentioned that, too. By the way, I didn't realize the St. Louis Cardinals, which is obviously one of the great drafting baseball teams in the history of the game, it's like a Mets game. There's like so many St. Louis fans out there. But, you know, questions I had were, and I would have lost money because the Cardinals were a -145.
I would have bet anything on the Cardinals. I'm just being honest. I would not have bet Bailey Falter against Mikolas in that game.
No way. Guys, you know, and also the analytics, you know, would have had Realmuto come up late in the inning with a man in scoring position, righty versus lefty, and they let Stubbs hit, and that worked out. But it's just incredible how this team is really playing with like they're trying to have fun. God bless them. Who knows what's going to happen? They just don't have enough if they don't get Harper back. Can I ask you guys a question?
Sure.
And Jody, you're a big baseball guy too, and Glenn, you're amazing. But and I usually don't do this because you know I'm very critical of Philadelphia sports and the way they drafted over the years. But, you know, guys, there's over 100 numbers that you can retire. And I was looking at these numbers, and when I see Matt Veerling wear number 19, and I wear C. Stout wearing number 5, you know, if I told you the Phillies could pick up three players tomorrow that would play 10 years in Philadelphia, would average 30 home runs and 90 RBIs, and both of these players would get us a ring, would it be so terrible to retire number 19 for Lozinski and number 5 for Pat Burrell?
I would not.
What are your thoughts?
And thanks for the call, Rick. You and I don't know we ever talked about this over all the years we worked. I believe that Rollins, Utley, and Howard's numbers should be retired from that team, which is a lot. I'm certainly not going Burrell. Hamels is kind of close, but close not. You grew up in New York, Jody, where the Yankees have retired half the numbers between 1 and 60. What's your thoughts?
Yes. I don't want to let someone else make this decision for me, but I'm going to use it as a baseline. For me, to get the consideration of your number being retired, you have to be a legitimate Hall of Fame candidate. If you make the Hall of Fame and a good chunk, if not all of your career, was spent here in Philadelphia and the team doesn't retire your number, what the heck are they thinking? That's just ridiculous. You've achieved that level of status within the game. Your team should acknowledge you and should retire your number. But you got to be that kind of close. Pat Burrell is one and done. His name pops up on the Hall of Fame vote, and he's out after a year because he didn't get 5% of the vote. No, he was part of a championship team. No, he's not a retire number candidate. And I know Bull is still part of the Philly family and the barbecue down at the ballpark and everything. No, he's one and done. He shows up on a Hall of Fame ballot, and then he doesn't have a second year. That's the level that you would have to. Now, you pointed out the Yankees. They have those kind of players.
Yeah, Paul O'Neill's number is retired. Well, they have great players, but they also they retired like Paul O'Neill's number. And Paul O'Neill's wasn't – he was a really good player, but not special the way you're defining it.
Right. And the other thing Paul O'Neill did was he was part of three championships, not one. Three championships,
yeah.
And that was a great run, and that's why you're right. If there's a guy you look at the list and go, yeah, maybe not, Paul O'Neill would be that guy for the very reason that you just stated. But I am a really tough, I guess it would be greater as to where you're going to put the line for a guy to get his number retired. I think you need to hold it to very, very, very high standards.
Well, here's the tough call for the Phillies that they decided to retire. Would you have retired Roy Halladay?
Yeah, because he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
and again, I don't want to pass
three and a
along,
half years here. Two good ones, two and a half good ones.
Yeah, I think he was here long enough.
Okay, all right.
Not a slam dunk like Mike Schmidt, but he's a Hall of Famer who spent an important part of his career here in Philadelphia. Yes, I'm okay with the retiring of.
All right, so I don't believe Rollins, Utley, or Howard will make the Hall of Fame. I don't know if you think any of them will.
I think Jimmy's got a shot.
Okay. I would retire all three of those numbers. I don't want to see somebody else wearing Jimmy Rollins' number or number six or not. Utley, you want to see a number 26 on some utility infielder?
I would prefer not, but and some teams do this from time to time. They will unofficially retire somebody's number. That they won't make it official, but it'll be well known throughout the organization. We don't give this number. Not for spring training, not when we've got every number being occupied between 1 and 99 because we got minor league guys coming up. No, this number never sees the field. And then you have a period of time, be it 20 years, 25 years, so that guys who are big-time fans of those players maybe are no longer rooting for the Phillies, and we know the reason why they wouldn't be, that you may be able to issue it back in. I don't want to see anyone wearing their numbers. Let's put it in my lifetime or your lifetime because we would fall into the group that I'm referring to.
Yeah, I think the Eagles, if I am correct, the Eagles never officially retired Randle's. I'm going to football for a second, but just
right.
I think it's a fair comparison.
Sure.
Eagles have never retired number 12, but I don't think anybody's worn it since Randle.
Same exact way to handle it. And football is a whole different conversation because
you got
a 53-man roster as compared to a 25, so it makes it more difficult, and you need to be a little bit more judicious about it. But that's how I would handle it. If they retire him, you're not going to hear me say, what the hell are they thinking about it? No, it's fine. It's their business. But I would just put them all in mothballs for me if the Phillies asked me how I'd handle it.
Okay. 215-592-9494. We got through this segment without talking about what I thought we'd end up talking about, which is the Sixers made some moves as the draft and free agency took place this last week. We will do that coming up along with Jody McDonald. I'm Glenn Mack now, Saturday morning on 94.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
UIP.
20 seconds to go. Embiid posting up. Tucker bodies him. They're going to have to change their comportment real quick.
Well, Jody, they changed their comportment. And if you can't beat them, sign them. The big story of the week, the Sixers draft and free agency. And what'd they do, Jody? They revamp, retool. They added depth. I guess that's the fair way to say it, right? They added some depth.
I'll go so far as to use the word upgraded.
Okay, upgrade's nice.
Did they hit the ball out of the park? Did they lock themselves in as a NBA title contender? I'm not going that far, but to this point, before we ever get to the Kevin Durant conversation, I would say yes. The Sixers upgraded, which is certainly better than going backwards and also an improvement over standing still. I'm a Tucker fan, and I have been for, oh, shoot, it seems like two decades. That's how long he's been in the NBA. And he checks a lot of the boxes as to what this team needs going forward. A three-year contract for a guy who's sneaking up on 37?
Yeah, well, that's...
That does question that a little bit, but they're in it to win it this year.
All right, so let me go through the deals. As you just say, they signed P.J. Tucker, who has beat them before with the Heat. Three-year deal, $33 million. It's a high price, $9.5 million this year. And, yes, this deal ends. He's going to be pushing 40 years old. He's a free agent. You overpay when it's free agent. Average 7.6 points, 5.5 rebounds last year. But he brings you other – he brings you skills that don't always show up in the stat sheet. He is a physical presence on defense. He can guard a lot of positions. We just saw how well he played against the Sixers in the playoffs. They had Daniel House, which everybody will spell wrong, and Trevelyan Queen, who was really, fair to say, Queen's a developmental guy. And Doc Rivers has never had patience in developing guys. Doc's big on those regular season wins. And what it says to me is what I think you were just implying, which is the Sixers' window to win with Joel Embiid and James Harden is now. And so if it took a three-year contract with Tucker to kind of make the most of this short window, they'll take the bad year at the back end of the deal. They have had zero, I believe this is correct. Yeah, I know this is correct. Zero second round series wins since 2001. The fan base is tired of it. I'm sure management is tired of it. Let's make a deal, speaking specifically the Tucker deal, that's at least going to try to get us past the second round. That is my read. Don't know if you've seen any differently.
I do. And your stating of the history and the facts is right on. And I always annoy the process servers who believe that Sam Mickey did what he did.
Yeah, they love both of us.
They have not gotten past where Doug Collins got them.
Yeah.
Doug Collins got them to a seventh game of round number two, and that's how far the post-processed Sixers have gotten. So that doesn't say a whole heck of a lot as to how it's worked out. That they're taking their opportunity as a team that's got pieces. And, oh, by the way, Celtics got better yesterday with the Malcolm Brogdon trade.
Yeah.
Giannis is still going to play for the Bucks next year, which is a major issue because there's not a player in the league that can stop Giannis. So it's an uphill climb, but you'd rather them make it than just stall out where they were at. I give Daryl Morey credit. And here's my one question, Glenn, and I tweeted out a bunch of this, and it was speculated that it was coming during the early part of the week when I was here on WIP at nights. James Harden did him a real solid by opting out and at least reportedly agreeing to a contract that will be less than what he could, 47 and change million. Rumors are he's going to sign somewhere in the mid-30s, and it'll only advance the percentage-wise that it can each year thereafter. He and Daryl Morey do have a very good relationship, and apparently he's doing the right thing that he thinks for the 76ers. If he had taken the 47 and then gone free agent next year, could he have made more over time? We'll never know. But why hasn't that been announced yet? Over the last
new deal?
Yeah, the last 48 hours since free agency started, there's been about 172 transactions in the NBA. And one of them isn't that James Harden has re-signed with the 76ers for X amount of dollars and X amount of years. No, we've got Mr. Pompey coming up later. Maybe he'll have insight to this. I'm just a little nervous as to why this hasn't been announced yet.
I don't know, and it is a fair question. We'll talk to Keith Pompey of the Inquirer at noon. Ray Dittinger is going to join us at 11:20. Jody, Ray called me this week. He wants to do a movie review.
Nice.
Well, I don't even want to give it away, but he saw a movie he really liked. I don't know the answer to your question, and the premise is fascinating to me, which is that James Harden, to be honest, I did not expect that James Harden was going to be the guy to take less money to help build the team. And you got to respect that, right?
Yep.
Okay, so here's the cynic, and I'm not the first to suggest this. Is it James Harden, philanthropist and great human being, or is it James Harden, smart businessman? Because we all know his skills are eroding. I mean, we certainly saw that after he came here and during the playoffs. He gets most likely, at least what has been reported, a 3-year deal out of this for less money per year. But he's not going to have to switch to cheap cigars and scotch. I mean, he's going to end up with, what, $100+ million for those 3 years. So maybe it was the smart financial move for him. Take less up front and get a bigger deal, get a longer deal.
Right. And Keith Pompey is a very good NBA insider. I know a bunch of them. I had one on my CBS show last night, Matt Moore from The Athletic, and I have opinions on all these NBA guys who get inside information. And Jake Fisher from Bleacher Report is a pretty good one. I've had Jake on as a guest before. He's pretty well tied in. Last week he said, it looks like Harden's going to opt in and sign a 2-year extension at max dollars. So look for about a 3-year, $150 million deal. Well, if he's only going to get mid-30s, you can only increase by 8% every year. Yeah, we're looking at about 3 years, $100 million. Mm-hmm. That's a $50 million difference.
That's
not chump change here we're talking about. If that's what his deal ends up being as to, and again, it was only a report, but it was reported it could be upwards of 150. I got to give him props. Again, you're right in that we're not going to start a GoFundMe page for him. Not necessary, but I think he did a real solid by the 76ers.
Could they? The NBA, and I'm sorry to be ignorant on this. I apologize for that. But the NBA salary cap rules are so complex to me. I was learning yesterday that you can't trade certain guys for certain guys.
Yep.
Could the Sixers have just said, all right, well, look, we'll take you, you know, if you want to opt in for this year, we'll pay you that, and then we'll just say goodbye. See ya.
They could have, but then Harden might not have opted in. He might have opted out and said, oh, yeah, I'll go elsewhere. And then you don't have the money to replace him because you're already a cap team with Embiid making what he's making and Tobias making what he's making.
Yeah, it's so confounding how limiting it is. Are you better off with James Harden for 3 years or with James Harden for no years?
That's what it came down to.
Right, and that's what I'm asking you.
And you, as an objective observer, can have an opinion on that. But the only one whose opinion matters is Daryl Morey, because he's the one who's going to make that call. And I do believe that Daryl Morey has a higher evaluation of James Harden than John Koo Public Sixer fan has. So even though we may think one thing, the guy who's going to make the official call thinks another, and I don't even know that he can separate himself from his overall beliefs and his rooting interests and the fact that he's got a relationship with James Harden.
Yeah, and as you suggested, you're over a barrel, because if you just say goodbye to him, you're still screwed against the salary cap, and you can't replace him. And the one thing that you can't sell the fans is, well, we're losing James Harden and we're getting nothing, and now we're not even going to get past the first round of the playoffs. So, hey, buy your season tickets. So, yeah, they're between a rock and a hard place. And I listen, I'll praise Harden more than criticize him in this. I as you said, there's not going to be a GoFundMe page. I will not nominate him for the Nobel Peace Prize for his magnanimity here, but I will praise him that it gave them the opportunity to do something. And I do think they are better than they were. You remember when Rich Kotite coached the Eagles, Jody? I think you and I were working together
Correct.
In those days. And Rich Kotite brought in every former Jet he could find. A lot of guys you rooted for growing up.
Yes.
They all switched the color green from the Jets green to the Eagles green. Well, Daryl Morey's kind of replaying those hits from Houston, right?
With
Tucker and House and Harden and DeAnthony Melton, who we haven't talked about. That stuff always worries me. Whenever you try to get the band back together like that, that's a tough one.
And, oh, by the way, the Rockets were good, but I don't see their championship banner hanging anywhere either.
Well, it isn't only like with Olajuwon, right.
Right. You're going to the Warriors and trying to pick guys off that team. Have won 4 championships in X amount of years, 8 years. No, the Rockets had some playoff success, never even made it to an NBA final. So that isn't the team that you pick out and go, oh, we've got to get as many of these X players as we used to. Kind of like Kotite and the Jets. Yeah, the Jets. that's what Diddley Squad, but he did bring in a couple. Do you don't remember the Ken O'Brien quarterback era fondly?
Yeah, no. I remember it. It was Ken O'Brien, and there was the other quarterback that they picked up who was a carpenter when
Ryan.
Matt Ryan. Both. Pat Ryan. Pat Ryan, the year everybody got hurt. Yeah, Pat Ryan. All right, just real quick, we still have to get to this, which is the biggest dream of all, which is Kevin Durant has requested a trade off the Brooklyn Nets. God, it's going to be his third team in 4 years. He is, I saw, this is not my original line, so I won't take credit. He's the Larry Brown of NBA players.
A little bit.
Yeah. Reportedly, the top of his list is the Phoenix Suns, the Miami Heat. I don't know that they're going to be able to do it. I don't know. First off, ha, 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 to the Brooklyn Nets and Ben Simmons. does not bother me that they are a mess. I saw the odds come out. You and I think, get the same odds from Bovada every couple of days in our email that listed the Sixers as 12-1 to get Kevin Durant, which puts them 3-6-8 among the favorites, with Phoenix and Miami being 1-2. Got a shot? Is it a pipe dream?
It's a long shot, but it's a shot. It's not a zero percenter. If you put Tobias Harris, who's going to be the guy who's going to make the money work, and you got to get close enough to be able to get it done. There are other players making more money that do less than Tobias Harris in the league. Not a lot of them, but there are some. So Tobias is one of those legitimate guys who could be included in a trade, who you're going to play and have as part of your team going forward, Nets or anybody else, where they would trade him. He's not a needle mover, but he's not a guy who you look at as a deficit. Oh, we have to put him in a deal to make the money work. So he's unique in that spot as per his talent in the league right now. Tyrese Maxey's got to be the key guy.
Gotta
and
be.
Nobody wants to see Tyrese Maxey playing anywhere but Philadelphia. But if you want arguably the best player in the NBA, as big a diva as he may be, that's what you got to do. You got to give up a player as good as Maxey. So when you start with Harris and Maxey and add to it, the biggest reason why it's the Sixers down on that list, Glenn, is they don't have control of their own draft picks.
Yeah,
they've moved enough of them that you can't trade 2 years in a row. So they don't have the draft assets to make that type of a deal. But if you're talking about Maxey and Harris and Thybul, at least you're in the conversation. I think there'll be someone who will offer more. I don't think the Sixers will get them, but it isn't like, oh, they got no shot whatsoever. Long shot. I think the odds are actually pretty accurate. There are five or six teams that are probably better positioned right now to get Kevin Garnett.
Yeah, it's Tobias Harris, it's Maxey, it's every draft pick you can trade, which, you know, every other year for the next 10 years. And I think the longer it takes, the better shot they have. Because Daryl Morey is the kind who kind of waits in the wings. And if other teams just have a tough time making the deal, then maybe the Sixers do it for everything you said, Thybul as well. I think it's really slim. I would hate to see Tyrese Maxey go, just because I think, like most Philadelphia fans, I've fallen in love with the guy. He's sure. Just such a energetic, fun, likable guy with a great upside. But I can't argue that, you know, wherever Kevin Durant goes, he changes the dynamic. I'm talking about of the whole conference. Even he's, what, 33 now? Something like that. But
right.
If you put him on the mix here, they are certainly conference favorites. And as much as I would hate trading Maxey, it's their best chance to win a title. The deals they made the other day are designed to win now. I don't know how, you know, long Joel Embiid's window is, but to me it's always kind of year to year. So as much as I would hate the 21-year-old who the city loves for the 33-year-old who a year after that could say, like, you know, I want to go somewhere else, you would have to do it. I don't know that Durant has any interest here. As we said, Phoenix and Miami are the places that he's talked about. I think it would take a while, but, you know, Morey waited out when he traded Simmons. That's the great example of his patience.
Right.
When everybody said, come on, do it, do this, do that, throw in Maxey. And he didn't. And he ended up getting, well, I don't know if it was a great deal, but he ended up getting the best deal he could. So, yeah, I guess it makes sense. You know.
And here's one of the reasons why I still give the Sixers a puncher's chance in this. Not a great one, but a chance. The story breaks the other day, and no one saw this coming. Comes out of left field. Durant has gone directly to the owner of the Nets and stating that he doesn't want to be there anymore. And it is the empowerment of players' age in the NBA, more so than any of the other sports. It's certainly in other sports as well, but the NBA more so than any others. And one of the first things that is reported, and everybody goes scrambling for inside info and off-the-record comments and the like, one of the first things that comes out is, and the Nets will trade him to the team that gives him the best package. In other words, we're going to trade Durant. We don't want to trade Durant. We're kind of taken aback by the fact that he's demanded this trade, but we're not going to just kowtow and trade him to his place of choice if they're going to undersell us on what we're going to get back in return. A lot of times players can do that too, dictate not only Harden did it with the Nets last year. He didn't want to play for Houston anymore. Oh, by the way, I'll accept Philadelphia, but my number one choice is to go play with Kyrie and KD. And boom, that worked out. So the player not only got to dictate that they were going to be dealt, but then also pick out exactly where they're going to go. The Nets got it out there pretty quick that they're going to trade him to where the deal is the best. And if the Sixer deal is the best, I think Durant would be willing to come here. I think he knows Philadelphia is a good spot. It's a good town. It's a pretty damn good team. The biggest hurdle might be that I did a spot in New York on the radio, so I talked to a Nets source that I have. It doesn't work there, but covers them on a day-in, day-out basis. He's got good ties to the organization. And he said, Jody, the reason why after Harden came to Philadelphia, they made the trade, Simmons went up there. I checked up my source, and he said the problem wasn't Irving and Harden. It was more Durant and Harden, that those guys had fallen out of like with each other that they had issues with their practice habits and this, that, and the other thing. So there's going to have to be some mending of the fences between Harden and Durant if this trade is going to come down. But I think the Sixers' offer is going to be competitive with others. You just kind of touched on it. We'll get, Keith's take on this. Because I didn't even know this rule, Glenn. I'm supposed to know this. The designated rookie rule.
Yeah, that was
news. You can only have two guys on that fifth-year second contract. I'd never heard of this before, and no. I follow the NBA, and this was news to me. So we get Pompey to explain it to us.
You know how sports has just kind of turned into math, Jody?
A little bit.
It's so frustrating. Anyway, 215-592-9494. We'd love to hear from you. We talked about the Phillies in the opening segment. Great win over the Cardinals the other day. By the way, the caller brought up something I want to ask about, which is why are there so many Cardinal fans everywhere? I don't get that. We'll talk about that, too. And we are talking about the Sixers, the moves they made and the move that they might make. 215-592-9494. He's Jody McDonald. I'm Glenn Mack now. Hey, are you tired of dealing with your old drafty windows and doors in your house? Maybe it's time you finally go Guida. The great people at Guida Door and Window will help make your window and door replacement project more affordable with their buy one, get one half off sale. For every door window you buy, you get a second one at 50% off. And you can mix and match the savings to suit your own needs. Buy an entry door, get half off a storm door. Buy a patio door, you get 50% off a window. If you need to replace all the windows and doors in your house, you can save 50% on half your project. The more you need, the more you save. Plus, Guida is making it easier for you to afford your project with no money down and interest-free financing for up to 18 months. Act now. Offers for a limited time only. Restrictions apply. For full details, call Guida today. Schedule a free, no obligation, in-home estimate at 1-877-GO-GUIDA. Or visit them at goguida.com. That's go, G-U-I-D-A.com. With Jody McDonald, I'm Glenn Mack now. Saturday morning, 94 WIP. Phil's 405 start, right, against the Cardinals today. There you go. 215-592-9494 if you want to talk to us. We'll get to the calls in just a sec. But, Ray, the caller brought up something in the first segment that I have noticed, and I guess was an issue at the park last night, which is, it's always a lot of Cardinals fans when they come on the road. When the Mets play here, I expect to see Mets fans. I mean, there's Mets fans in New Jersey. It's an easy drive if you want to come down from New York. That makes sense to me. Cardinal fans? What? St. Louis is what, 1,200 miles away?
Understood. And you scared me there for a second because you said Ray. I thought maybe.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I thought it was the segment that Ray's going to come on and give us what we're watching. I'm going, did I just get back here and not have my headsets on? Should I say hi to Ray?
Yeah, I apologize. 21 years, Jody. It's going to happen every once in a while.
And I'm going to pimp you for it every time you do. And with a smile on my face.
I tell you the time you I called my wife by the wrong name when we were dating.
Yeah, you did. Yeah,
it's not good.
If you do this long enough, you're going to deal with it.
I remember I was with you one time, and you're like giving out phone numbers. I'm going like, what
the number
ninth station you work for that?
We've all been there and done that, so we do it with a laugh in our voice. The Cardinals are a national team. They have been, and they have been for a long time. A, they've been successful. B, they've had some very good players, a Hall of Fame level type guys. So you're going to get your fans that live somewhere other than St. Louis, not a hometown fan, want to be a contrarian. Cardinals are as good a team as any to latch onto because they go to a lot of World Series. If you're anti-Yankee, it's the Yankees in the American League, and the Cardinals have been the most successful team over the course of decades, if not centuries. So I get it. It doesn't bother me. Good on their fan base that they do travel well. Yeah. And they do have fans in other towns.
Nah, it's my least favorite team in the National League. Well, that's not true. I mean, the Mets, I guess, because they're the Mets. Because, you know why? And I suppose this is going to be petty. When Scott Rolen went there and described it as baseball heaven, and I do believe, having met St. Louis fans, having been to that town, that ballpark, having a few friends from that part of the country who are, I think that St. Louis thinks of itself as baseball paradise. And my answer is, yeah, well, bleep you. Which I realize, Jody, is very small-minded and petty of me.
Mm-hmm.
But our emotions are what they are.
How much do you think Rolen plays into that? Did you feel that way before Scott Rolen said what he said?
No, I think it's because I was not aware that St. Louis viewed itself as this exemplary town where we know more and our fans are more appreciative. And part of it I know is because I have a couple of friends who said, "Oh, Philadelphia, your fans, hey, boo Santa Claus. We're not that type." So it's partly Roland, partly my friend.
Here's where, I got to tell you, you're coming off a bit as a snob.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody thinks that about Philadelphia. It's not just St. Louis. Colorado fans feel that way about Philadelphia. Chicago fans feel that way about Philadelphia.
Yeah, but nobody
Arizona
ever described,
fans feel that way about
Nobody
Arizona,
ever described Arizona as baseball heaven.
Well, no, but you said the big part of it was that the fan base looks down at Philadelphia. Everybody's fan base looks down at Philadelphia because of stupid Santa Claus and J.D. Drew actually went there and played for the Cardinals for a good period of time. So the whole battery thing comes back up again. I don't single out St. Louis.
Yeah, I left out J.D. Drew. Excuse me. That's a big part of my argument, yes.
You can put that into the mix, too. Here's the reason why I'm not on the same page.
And La Russa. Hated La Russa.
And oh my God, him walking guys with two strikes on a batter. I did not like that idea with the White Sox 2 years ago when he decided to bring him out of mothballs to run the team. But I don't want to get off on a Lou Russa tangent. Here's where, and it's all personal, and you're taking it personally and have a personal look at it. I do too. My father went to St. Louis, and he won a World Series in St. Louis.
Oh, well, okay, sure.
And he really enjoyed his time there. And said it was a great town with a great fan base to work with. And he had the ultimate championship success in winning a championship and a parade and everything else. So, yes, the prism that I see it through is, yeah, they are kind of what they're cracked up to be.
He's got a ring.
He did.
I suppose if I had a ring, I'd view it differently.
Yes.
But, you know, okay. Anyway, I hate that. I hate that city and that fan base. And my friend Todd Hopkins, if you're listening from St. Louis, that one was for you. Let us go to Neil in the Northeast. Good baseball man. What's going on, Neil?
Yeah, it's interesting your point of view because, you know, St. Louis, they won, you know, like 10 World Series title. You know, I think of when they had Carlton and Gibson and Lowell, you know, like in the 60s.
And no, Lilich was on Detroit, but they had Carlton and
Gibson and Carlton. Yeah.
And
you know, Red Shandy's like for years and I guess Pujols and Xavier Medina and Wayne White. But how they drafted and getting, you know, like sort of mid-market, getting three million people. But I could understand being bitter about Scott Rowland and baseball, having no doubt about that.
Well, I didn't
that.
Describe myself as bitter, but you did, and it's probably a word I can't really dispute too much. So there you go. It's personal. Neil, there has to be teams or fan bases that you just don't like just because you don't, right?
Well, to be honest, I'm not a Yankees fan, you know, like because after 27 like World Series and, you know, the money that they put up with the YES Network and, you know, to buy titles and, you know, just commit to like A-Rod and, you know, it'd be interesting. Jody, do you think it's a given, you know, like after that Aaron Judge is back with the Yankees, or you don't think it's a given?
It's damn close to it. You want me to set a percentage? 90% chance he's back with the Yankees, 10% he's somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, about the Phillies going forward, I think, you know, Hall's definitely a big addition. And, you know, Nick really has to start hitting, you know, but I'm hoping, you know, so far Reese has got hot the last couple games. And actually the bullpen's doing a decent job. Maybe positions are better, like, you know, under Thompson, you know, he has them, you know, like ready for the position.
That's what Jody opened up with, which is the bullpen pitched really well last night and has been doing better. And you give the manager credit for saying, okay, it's not just going to be Corey Knebel in the ninth inning. We're going to move guys around. And it's been working. So, yeah.
Wanted to add this on the Phillies mix, Glenn. And you talk about putting the blinders on as a Phillies fan. This is what passed through my mind last night. Did you see Castellanos loaf down to first base on the ball that fell in last
night? Sure did.
Yeah, not good.
Nope.
But within a couple of pitches, he does an absolute perfect read on the pitcher, takes off, steals second base, no throw even necessary because he had already stolen it. And this is, again, probably cockeyed optimism from a Phillies fan. I was hoping that woke him up, that he had screwed up and he knew he screwed up and that he said, I got to get the second base to try and, like, make up for the fact that I lollygagged it down the line, which, oh, by the way, he would have been good with Tony La Russa because the White Sox have decided they're not going to really run
that's
hard
an odd
going
thing
forward.
That they're doing. It's an odd thing that they kind of – that it got to be known.
He came right out and said it. It wasn't like it leaked out either. He's sitting in front of the accrued media and goes, oh, by the way – guys, you write this if you want to, but let me tell you ahead of time, we're directing our players to not run hard on routine ground balls. So, that's what happened to Castellanos last night. So, if he starts to get hot, I don't think he's the type of player that needed that self-motivation kick in the rear end, but if it happens, I'm going to get very happy about it, that it plays out that well, because they desperately need him to pick it up. Yeah, that's trying to find a silver lining on a pretty bad play last night, but I did think along those lines.
All right, last thing I want to say about the fan bases, because you've always been a more rational, level-headed sports fan than I have. You tend not to carry grudges, I believe, as I do. You look at things less passionately and more rationally. Is that a fair statement?
That's fair enough, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Other than rivals, right? We all have the, like, you know, I hate the Cowboys. People in this town hate the Giants. I mean, it's what we do, right? That's expected. That's part of the thing. Are there any teams, Jody Mack, in any of the four major sports, which are not your team's rivals, but you just don't like them?
No.
No.
No, plain and simple, no.
Yeah.
I'm hoping I'm understanding your question the way you're asking it, that it's part of what you're looking for is it's somewhat irrational, that you shouldn't despise them, you shouldn't hate them.
Well, there's no great reason
that they're good.
It's not, you know, again, you're an Eagles fan, you're going to dislike the teams in the NFC East, right? There are the teams
rivalries,
a rivalry, but a team that's not a rival, but you just don't like them. Because the St. Louis Cardinals have always been that for me. I always root for them to lose. Always.
Yeah, no.
For all the reasons stated, from J.D. Drew and Tony La Russa and Scott Rowland and the baseball heaven and all that load of horse pucky that I just can't stand them.
No, I don't have a team like
nothing,
that.
Not one.
No, not off the top of my head that I can come up with and go, yeah, when they beat in the 1 year where my team advanced and they beat us in the championship round and we don't have a rivalry with them, but God, they acted like entitled idiots. No, I can't come up with one off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, there you go. I'll throw that in the mix. I'm just,
yeah,
I don't think I'm the only one that feels that way, but maybe I am.
No. You got company. I can guarantee you got company.
All right. If you are one of those people who likes to view sports with a degree of irrational hatred, let us know. 215-592-9494. We've got some good conversation about the Phillies and your Philadelphia 76ers. We'll throw the Eagles into the mix. Coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, we will talk to Ray Dinscher. I may call him Jody. It's possible. But we will talk to him. Ray's got a film review that he wants to do. Called me. Said he's got to review this movie he loved. At noon, Keith Pompey joins us from the Inquirer to talk some hoops. But we do want to hear from you. 215-592-9494.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.